Well, good evening, and welcome to iFaith Video Message 61. Last time, we looked at 2 John with the talk on the Antichrist. And this time, I have two titles, as we are in 3 John. And one is Christians in Conflict. But that doesn't apply perfectly to the situation in 3 John, because in 3 John, the fault seems to be on one side. But how about a more biblical title? The first will be last, because that's from Jesus. And it ties into probably the key word in the entire, very short, but entire letter of 3 John. You know, we like to be first. We like to be first when we're kids, when we're grown. Remember when you were in school, and sometimes they'd be picking teams for sports. Now, if you're a very athletic person and very skilled, maybe you were the captain or you were chosen first. And that must have been really nice, because that never, ever happened to me. I would be one of the last two, if not the last, and people would say, oh, do we have to have them? That wasn't fun. I was younger than the other kids, but I was bigger, but not coordinated in proportion to that size difference, and I wore glasses. Not naturally gifted that way, big and tall, but not like, you know, an athlete. But academically, yes, now I have a chance to compete, and I've always been competitive in my heart. I love to play games. It can be Words with Friends. It could be Scrabble. Chess, I used to play much more. I taught my son. He was much younger than me when he learned, I don't know, what was he, 6 or 7? And so to make it fair, I just played with a king and a couple pawns and maybe another piece. And gradually, as he improved, I started with more and more pieces on the board. Well, today my son is 32, and I don't play him. In fact, I don't play anybody in chess because he always wins. In fact, it's not just at age 32. He overtook me when he was about 13 or 14. It just was so much work trying to keep up with him. I just let it go. But then today I was looking at the news and I saw a son of a friend of mine who's started university. He's 12 years old. He's doing university classes. Look, parents, if you value education, and many of you do, get comfortable with knowing that in some areas, the kids will know more than you, and get comfortable with that. Anyway, wanting to be first, wanting to do well, it's not all bad, but it can be very selfish, especially when we dress it up. We want to make it seem like we're not greedy for glory, especially if we're in the church, where you're supposed to pretend that you're humble. In leadership, you don't want to be ugly and like some leaders, you know, right? I finished a biography last week. He's the founder, that's probably more or less correct, of the Churches of Christ, Christian Churches and Disciples of Christ, in the 1800s. I mean, it's been almost 200 years. His name is Alexander Campbell, a very complex person, a really good biography. I featured it in my newsletter. Campbell had many strengths, physical strength, he had academic strength, he was a great speaker, but there was at least one weakness. I would say this is a flagrant weakness. He always had to be right. So he had quarrels with his opponents, with his friends, with his supporters. He just tore through relationships, and when he got advanced in years, he started forgetting. And I think he became sweeter in a way. But this is a guy who always had to be right. I look at his influence on the churches where I most often work and teach. And I can see that even though it's been almost 200 years, that DNA is still there. We don't want to be people who have to be right. And we don't do well with that. Because we think, well, if I'm wrong, then I have a wrong belief. And if you have a wrong doctrine, then you're not going to be saved, or you're a false teacher or something. Okay, I'm a big believer in truth and learning, and I'm not trying to make an excuse here, but I think we value it too much. 3 John is a personal letter written from one friend, he calls himself the elder, we believe he's John, to another friend whose name is Gaius. And we're going to be looking at just 4 verses in a row, and we'll see that there's a conflict between the supporters of Demetrius, who's the good guy, and Diotrephes, who's the bad guy. That's the Christians in conflict idea. There are two sides, but as you'll see, there's really not too much good to be said about Diotrephes. If you want more, if this isn't enough for you, remember you can go to the website, go through a tour through John, or look at the New Testament chapter notes, and you can get more information here. 3 John 9. I have written to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing and spreading false charges against us. And not content with those charges, he refuses to welcome the friends and even prevents those who want to do so and expels them from the church. These people being expelled are friends, and friends is another word for Christian. It's one of the common names for Christian. Diotrephes, it says, loves to be first. What is his doctrinal persuasion? We don't know. He may have nothing to do with the figures in 2 John and 1 John, those who believe that Jesus came, but not with a physical body, you know, those Gnostics. We could speculate. He may be totally correct in terms of his teaching, his doctrine. This letter doesn't give us any hint, but it does show us the world of Diotrephes. Diotrephes is the star actor at center stage, the lead commander. He wants to win the blue ribbon. He doesn't seem to share glory well and probably doesn't take input very well. You know, ego is a driving factor, sadly, in so much of church history and church politics, just as it is in non-church politics. And I say that it's a sweeping generalization, but if you study church history, every century, there have only been 20 since the beginning, you'll see the patterns, and it gets ugly pretty quickly. Diotrephes inappropriately uses his authority. He domineers. He misuses his position to deal with challenges to his authority. He expels those who disagree with him. That's a wrong exercise of church discipline. You don't kick someone out because he has a different opinion. It's for serious sin that's not repented of, or if it's someone who's intent on starting his own group and constantly undermining the local church. Okay, and the Bible speaks to those. Now, John uses a very rare word. When it says he loves to be first, it's actually one word. And I'll say it for you in Greek, and let's talk about that for a moment before we finish up. The word is philoproteuon. Philo, like philos, a friend, or philia, love. Protos first, proteuon, wanting to be first. So you put it together, the philos and the protos, the proteuon, it's the one who loves to be first. It only appears here in the New Testament. You won't find it anywhere else, only in 3 John. In classical Greek, that is the Greek of Plato and Aristotle, say 400 BC and later, it meant to strive to be first or in the front rank. In ecclesiastical Greek, move ahead a few hundred years, the word eventually came to mean love to be the leader, like I want to be it, I want to be the leader. Striving to be first is a negative leadership quality. Modesty, more often than not, characterizes the men and women of the Bible whom the Lord uses to do great things. Now, anyone who is used by the Lord has flaws, and you'll see all kinds of flaws when you read the honest pages of both Testaments. But usually, someone who's very full of himself flares out. He flames out. He doesn't last long. She doesn't do well. But you'll see that the self-effacing, the modest, tend to do a lot better. And that characterizes, again, men and women in Scripture who do great things. Diotrephes isn't good with team leadership. Probably wouldn't be happy working with overseers sharing the lead as they did in the New Testament times. No, he preferred one-man rule. He's the man. And I wish I could say that because many people have taught great lessons on 3 John, we've got all the Diotrephes gone. They're all removed from our churches. It's just not the case. You'll see them everywhere, in every town, in every congregation. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius, and so has the truth itself. We also testify for him, and you know that our testimony is true. Okay, that's where we're going to end our reading. Whoever does good is from God. That's referring to Demetrius and his supporters. He's a more modest Christian leader. You know, moral character lies at the heart of Christian leadership. Not forcefulness, persuasiveness, good looks, popularity, or even effectiveness, however that's defined. No, the Lord looks at the heart. John has no hesitation dealing publicly with the wicked actions of Diotrephes. Normally in the letters, opponents of the church are referred to, but not by name, only if it's a very serious situation. And here it is. And before we side with one teacher or the other, we should not only listen to what they say, but examine the lifestyle. And Jesus said the same in Matthew 7:15, Matthew 7:20. There's always a connection between the fruit of one's life and one's orientation, and we should expect people to walk the walk. Demetrius, the righteous leader, has a good reputation. In fact, there are three things going for him. John's opinion, which is worth a lot to this community, apparently, and the church broadly knows of him, maybe not just the house church that 3 John is addressed to, but in the area, perhaps the area of Ephesus, others know him. And then it says, even the truth itself. And I think that's probably the evidence of Demetrius's lifestyle, his deeds. That is the match between his life and what the Lord expects, between the commands of Scripture and how he lives. And apparently, it's implied that the match isn't so good in the case of the one who loves to be first. Well, to be a leader, to serve as an overseer, a church leader, we can't be like this man. We cannot be like him. If you look at the qualities expected of a church leader, Titus 1, 1 Timothy 3, you'll see that it emphasizes humility and integrity, self-control. There's a gentleness. It's not worldly. It's not someone who wants money or wants power. This is absolutely important for those who want to be church leaders. And don't you dare say, well, to be gentle and kind, that's for elders, but others, no, that's for everybody, because that's what Jesus was like, right? Remember when we did 1 John, the second talk there, Jesus refers to himself as humble. He's humble, his burden is light, his yoke is easy, come and learn from him, he's gentle. That's the way we should be. So I have a few questions I wanted to ask you, but I'm asking myself also. Generally speaking, do I want to be first? Because the first will be last. Am I a team player? Am I known that way? How's my driving? My driving, yes, because if you drive a car, if you don't drive a car, you can apply the principle in another way, I'm sure. Be creative. But what we're like on the road, letting others go before us, being gentlemen, gentlewomen, being, you know, meek, humble, that's a very good reflection of what we're really like. If we lose our temper on the road, we're clearly not in control of our temper in important situations when we're dealing with conflict and trying to be to influence others for Christ. Do I have to be the loudest one in the room? Some people, I mean, sometimes it's funny, but some people, they've got to be loud. It's like they want everyone to look to them. They need to be the center of attention. Two more questions. How do I react when I don't get my way? Good question. Well, I'm fine if it's a minor thing and it doesn't matter to me. Well, of course, everyone's fine. You know, if it's the choice is chocolate or vanilla and you like them both equally, of course, you're not going to get upset if someone, you know. Okay. But what are we like when we do care or when it's something we think is important? Because I'm quite sure Diotrephes and Demetrius both would have said this is really important. But Diotrephes, he was inflexible. And the last question, and just circling back here, am I more of a Demetrius or Diotrephes? God bless you. Thank you for listening to this iFaith video message, whatever country you're in. Next time, we'll be getting into the book of Revelation, and we'll have a first of two messages. The first is from Revelation 3. God bless.